So we're on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we're talking a little bit about two types of Paulin and two types of financial arrangements, and the Nafka meaning is going to be whether they pick up a Metziah on their own behalf or the Zoch on behalf of the Adon or the Balabais. So let's just see where we're up to. If you take a look on the top of Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and you go down about, let's say, 7 lines, would it be 8 lines? Mitzias avdo v'shivchaso ha'ivrim harehu li'atzma, shal atzma. Okay. So now, the Gemara says the following. Let's backtrack. The Mishnah says the following. There's a fundamental difference between an Eved Kanani and an Eved Ivri. In many differences, but one is in terms of a Metziah. An Eved Kanani does not have a Yad of his own, and any Metziah that he zochin certainly goes back to the Balabais, the Adon. And that's called Yad HaEved Ki Yad Rabba. But the Mishnah tells me that in the case of an Eved Ivri, he has an independent Yad. Now, I owe him wages, I have to pay him, but he could be Zocha Liatzma. So the Gemara is going to be upset about this, if you remember yesterday's discussion, because there are two types of Paulin. There's a Poel who is hired for specific work, that's called Nakeshimi or Adurimi, in other words, you have to hoe and rake the ground and whatever he specifies, and that beyond the purview of that limited pi'ilus, he's on his own. And there's another kind of poel, where you pay him for a day's work without specifying what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. He's, so to speak, your Eved. You can work him, I mean, within limits. You can't cause him to, you know, physical damage or anything. But other than that, in terms of the workload, you're basically mine for today. I own you, and you'll do whatever I want you to do. And in the case of the first category, where he hired him specifically for one task, then if the poel finds an aveda and it's lost and it's hefker, he could be zocha on his own behalf. The Balabais has no control over him beyond those specific malachas. But if he doesn't specify the malachos, and the financial arrangement is such that it's all-inclusive, and basically, you know, the Balabais owns the Eved, the Poel, and the Poel is contracted to do anything and everything that the Balabais wants for him, then included within that contract is to be Zoche, to be Torech after a Metziah, and acquire it on behalf of the Balabais. Now, I don't know in contemporary life if we can illustrate this with a kind of a word or a concept, but imagine if you have, you know, a rich fellow and he hires servants, and basically whatever they do on behalf of the rich guy. That's what they're there for. You know, if he wants them to be stenographers and he wants to dictate, they'll write notes. If he wants to send them to the grocery and buy this and buy that. He has them as his servants for the entire day, and they'll do everything that they have to do on behalf of the Adon. Is there a word for it in English?
Executive assistant.
Executive assistant. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Amai, what about the case of an Eved or a Shivcha? Lo Yehei Ela Poel. Again, which kind of poel? Not the kind of poel of a specific malacha, but a poel for a day. Yeah. That's called Asemi Malacha Hayom, or Shavua, or whatever it is. Visanya. And the Braisa says that these two categories of poel, Chapanaf Gemina, as far as the Mitziah, as far as finding a lost object. Mitziah's poel li Atzmo, Bamedvar Mamurim. Bisman Shomer lo nakeshi mihayom or adari mihayom. So he had a very specific malacha that he was hired for. Mm-hmm. And therefore, if he decides to, you know, to go beyond the purview of those malachos, and again, you have to work it out that he shouldn't be mevatel himself from the time of the Baal Bayis, but nevertheless, he can go ahead and he can be zochen mitzia liatzmo. Avol im amar lo asei mi malachayom. You are my eved for the day. Be an eved for a day, right? Which means that you're my executive assistant, right? Is that the term? And you have to do everything I want you to do. And everything you do for me. So in such a case, is mitziyoso lebala bayis. The Baal Bayis can insist and expect that the poel was hired not only for any malach that you and I can imagine, but even to be zoche and to be toreach in order to lift up a mitzia on behalf of the Baal Bayis. That's what we have in the Braisa. Now, the Braisa doesn't explicitly address the case of an Eved, but the entire logic of the Braisa should apply to an Eved in a very profound sort of way. What greater kind of asei mi malach hayom could there be than an Eved? An Eved has to do all the malachos. He's not limited to any specific malachos. And whatever the Adon decides or whatever's in his benefit, the Eved has to implement that. So therefore, if the Eved finds a Metzia, it should belong to the Adon. Why does the Mishnah say that the Metzia belongs to the Eved himself? Or the Shiv, right? It should accrue to the Adon by virtue of the fact that he hired him for the whole day. Or for 6 years he hired him. So when I saw this Gemara, I thought that there are two ways of approaching this Gemara. Without even answering the Gemara's kasha, just in terms of the method, we can use the old Ukimta method, which means there's no fundamental distinction between the Eved and the Poel of Asei Mi Ayom, but we're going to use Ukimtas. We're going to say, well, our Mishnah is talking about a very specific set of circumstances. You know, it wasn't a regular kind of an Eved. It was an Eved that was the Adon already trained him to do certain malachas and thereby, you know, specified which malacha. But I thought that perhaps we can answer this question of the Gemara with a distinction that's much more fundamental. That we don't have to talk about cases X, Y, or Z, you know, and come up with the various ukimtas. The Gemara is going to talk about an Eved who's no cave Margolios. The Gemara is going to talk about an Eved who is malakit to this, malakit that, and we'll see all the details of Rav Chia, Rava, and Rav Papa as we go along. But alternatively, maybe you could say that there's a separate halacha here in Eved. The Torah says, Avodaihem, V'lo avodai l'avodai. In other words, you cannot make a kinyan on an Eved in an absolute, shall we call it, eternal way. You know, for all eternity, he is my Eved. Avdus has to have breaks to it. It has to have a limitation. Because the Torah declares, you are my Avod. You can't be an Eved to an Eved. Within the context of that limitation, there's no such thing as asei mi imanu hayom in the case of an Eved. In the case of a Poel, okay, I'm paying him for all the work he can do for me, maximized, pile it up for a full day. Okay, that he's not my Eved. But when I have a Kenyan Avdus, then there has to be some sort of a break. You know, like there's the accelerator and there's the break. There has to be something that limits and restricts the Avdus. I can't say that in Hilchus Kinyanim, I own the Eved for every single malach in the world, because that would make him an Eved to an Eved. So the halacha is that there are certain specific malachos that I can anticipate, I can expect that he will do for me, and we have to get and figure out which they are. But it's not, you know, it's not asei mi hayom, because again, in the case of the Eved, it's not asei mi hayom, it's asei mi for the next 6 years. So for 6 years, you're my Eved, and I have a kinyan on every single yad, every single acquisition that you make. But the Gemara, for some reason, is not interested. The Gemara thinks that we have to go with ukimtas. So let's go through three ukimtas. What's the case of that Mishnah? Be'evid no kev Margolios askinon. He's a high profile worker. He has a very high skilled worker, a very specific and expensive, valuable skill. What's unique about this? Evid she'ein rabo rotzel l'shanoso l'melach acheres. Now look at the Gemara's language. Rabbi Chiya seems to put all the emphasis here on what? On ratzon. Do you see that? Ein rabo rotzel. What do you mean, ein rabo rotze? It all depends on how much 5 minutes of his work is worth on the market. What do you mean, ein rabo? Is there some sort of absolute calculation that the Adon doesn't want his Eved to do any work other than being no cave mar? Now, I understand. No cave Margolios is, you know, brings in high pay. It's very specialized, and yeah. You can get a lot of money for this. But what happens if there's a diamond ring lost and for that 5 minutes, he'll take a break from being no cave Margolios? Rabbi Chiya puts all the emphasis here on Ein Rabo Rotza. It's not worth it for him. He gets more out of the Eved financially, more profit, if the Eved is exclusively dedicated to being a no-cave Argolius. No, if that be the case, the Adon has no interest in the Eved taking a break from his Nekivas Margolius and picking up a Metziah on his behalf. Therefore, when he picks up the Metziah, it can't be on behalf of the Adon, it has to be on behalf of himself. Again, I would just submit to you that it would seem, Lefi Anias Daiti, that at this point we should make, you know, ifs, ands, and buts, and it should depend upon, you know, the shikulim financier. You know, what are the financial considerations? And maybe there are situations in which the Adon would be very, very happy if the Eved would take a break from his very high-skilled, high-paid work in order to be zochin a mitzia. Again, if the mitzia is an old shmata, I understand, you know, you're not going to take a break from. So I'm thinking out loud here that, I don't know if you have any, in your Gemaras, if you have any commentaries here that, you know, sometimes you have a Gemara with a footnote, the Art Scroll or the Steinsaltz or something, but again, I'm not interested, John, don't tell me about, you know, Gerses and stuff like that. I just want to know if he has something Lomdish to say, you know, then I'm interested. No, I tell you why I left, because Steinsaltz is an expert in certain areas of Talmudic study that not always interest me. And that doesn't mean that they're less important, but it's not my cup of tea, you know. So he wants to know which Greek word did the Gemara have in mind. You know, so I'm not an expert in Greek, so.
Dr. Belkin was.
Yeah, Dr. Belkin was. He had his degree in classics, yeah. I think the Rav knew Latin. I don't know if he knew Greek, but in his. No, it's no joke, because in his work called, I think it's called Kol Dido Fake, he has Greek words on the bottom. So I don't know if he knew Greek, but he certainly knew Latin.
Ready?
He knew Latin. He did, I don't know if he knew Greek. You know if he knew Greek? How do I know he knew Latin? Because he wrote a letter to the Pope, not this Pope, the Friedrich, and he wrote it in Latin, and the Friedrich Pope, I think, was Polish, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he didn't read Latin. So he, the Bush of Acherpa, that he gets a letter from Rabbi Soloveitchik, and the holy Latin he couldn't read. He had to hire someone else. I know this from my friend Rabbi Adler. I don't know if you know Aaron Adler. So Aaron Adler was, at that point in time, he was a Masharis. There was a whole to-do about, you know, ecumenism, you know, that the Jews would talk to, you know, would sit down and talk to the Christians, and we find some sort of a machaneh mishutaf, you know, a common ground. So the Rav was absolutely opposed to it, and he thought the Pope would be very angry at him, so he wrote him a 90-page treatise in Latin. 90 pages in Latin. And the Pope didn't know how to read it. That's a bush of a character.
He threw Greek words, I think, in Shalacha, different places.
Now this I don't know, but I'm telling you, in one of his writings, I remember seeing Greek. So Rabbi Steinsaltz is interested in Greek. I'm not so interested in Greek. But I would say here, a lumdus. You want to say some lumdus, Alan?
It just seems to me it's partial that the Baal is saying he wants him to pay attention to what he's doing.
That's not exactly Lumdus, but yeah, no, you're right.
He's not shy to say it, therefore it should be, he doesn't want it for himself, but he does all the loyalty.
But I'm just saying, Alan, you know, you have to admit that could shift based on different factors and variables. You know, he says, Rabbi Chiya says, Ein Rabo Rotza. From Vana Vesmedos. You know, maybe on the normal situations, you know, to take a break from Margolios for a Shmata, you know, that I agree, Ein Rabo Rotza L'Shadosol V'Loch Acheres. He doesn't want to distract him, and his time is too valuable. But in a case of an expensive mitzvah, I don't know, you know, maybe a 5-minute break is nishkefel. That's why I think you need lamdus here to understand Rav Chiya. The lamdus of Rav Chiya is, what's the nature of the agreement? Does it come under the peilus or the schiris of asei imi malach hayom, or is it come under the category of nakeshi imi hayom? And these are two categories. One is a category that I own all your ma'aseh yadayim. Your yad is my yad. That's called hayom. The other category is that the financial agreement was on a specific malacha. In other words, I don't own your yad, I own your malacha. I own the produce or the result of your yad, but not your yad itself. If I own your yad, then anything you do is mine. That's the nature of the financial agreement. So what the Gemara is, and I think Rav Chiya is a Gevaldik Chiddush, he's saying that in Hilchas Avdus, there are two ways of being Konan Eved. There are two types of Kinyonim that you could be Konan the Eved. I'm not interested in the psychology. I'm not interested in the application in very specific scenarios. What's better for the Adon? And let's make a financial calculation. But I'm interested in knowing what was the nature of the kinyan when he was kona the eved, right? There's a whole sugya in Masechta Kiddushin, how you effectuate a kinyan on an eved. And the kinyan itself could be a kinyan limalacha, or it could be a kinyan in the yad. And the nafkamina would be whether or not the adon owns all the malachas and all the pe'ilus, or he only owns a specific one. And the case of Nokev Margolios, the Gemara says, is clearly a case of Nakeshi Miayom, and that was the nature of the kinyan. That's what I would say. Again, if you find any footnotes, but again, not Greek footnotes, I mean, just... All right, Rav Omar.
But Shadi, Hashem Rabbo wrote so much, and not to Malacha Acheres. I thought it meant that he doesn't want him to interrupt looking for Mitzvah.
No. So I'm saying not like that, because maybe he does want him to interrupt himself. I mean, you're with Alan together, so the two of you are on the same page. I'm saying Ena Rotsa mean at the time of the Kinyan. The Ena Rotsa defines the Rotsan of the Kinyan. Every Kinyan requires a Das Machna, or in this case a Das Kona. And the Das Kona here was for a specific Malacha. Why did I hire this guy? He is the world's expert on Menachem Margolis. And that's what I hired him. So the Kinyan was made that I own you as an Eved only vis-a-vis this particular Malacha. I own your Malacha of Nikuv Margolis. Your Yad is your own Yad. There's another kind of Kinyan Eved where it's a Stam Eved. A Stam Eved, you know, he has many different talents, hopefully, but I didn't hire him. The original Kinyan was not done for a specific Malacha. It was Asei Mi Ayom. You're my executive, what was the word again?
Assistant.
Okay, let's go on, Rabosai. Rav Omar, Magbia Metzia Im Malachto Askino. Oh, this is very interesting. Rava says that the whole issue of how we classify Eved and whether or not Yad Eved ki Yad Rabo depends upon Bitul Malach. There's a concept called Bitul Malach. What does it mean? It means that an Eved cannot be distracted in any way whatsoever. If he takes a break, I mean, the Gemara is going to say, we'll allow him to recite, Birkas HaMazon, only two brachas instead of three brachas. Exactly. Or, does he have to climb down from the top of the, you know, he's cutting the thing on top there, on the scaffold, does he have to climb down and then go back up again in order to recite Kriyat Shema or Davin? So we're going to have all sorts of coolers. But other than that, any other distraction whatsoever, that's why I tell every poel should be told to shut off his cell phone, because he's not allowed to be on his cell phone. I mean, again, unless it's a Tzorach HaMalacha. So that would be called Bitul Malacha. So the Gemara says the following, that does the Adon have a kinyan on the Yad of the Eved, or does the Eved has his own Yad? It depends. We're talking about Asei Imi Hayom. I own all your malachas, but only on one condition, that there's no bitul malach. When the Mishnah says that the Eved has a yad to himself, that's when there's bitul malacha. If there's bitul malacha, then the eved is, you hear this paradox, it's so paradoxical. When the eved is involved in something that he can't do two things at once, if you follow me. You know, sometimes you're ambidextrous. So with his right hand, he's plowing the field. With his left hand, he's picking up a mitzia. That's called, excuse me, there's no bitul malacha in that case. Does anybody have the possibility of adding a drop of water here? Because my voice is going. This is the last year of my week, so that's when my voice hits its low point. And I, by the way, on the side, I wanted to ask you, gentlemen, if you would be opposed to my giving shiur through a microphone. No?
No problem.
I'm very nervous about it because I'm afraid it's going to change like the atmosphere in the shiur. You know who does this? Rabbi Rakefet. You know Rabbi Rakefet? I mean, I'm talking 40 years ago. I mean, this is not new. Already years ago, he would say shiur in a microphone.
The Rav
what?
Microphone, but it was to take the
shoe. Yeah, no, I never heard him use a microphone to project his voice. But in my case, I don't know. It's thank you so much. It's really affecting my voice. Thank you so much. It's killer mitzvah. Okay. So let me read to you the translation into Hebrew of Rava b'magbia mitzia malachto askin. He writes the following. Midubar, what's the case in which the Mishnah says that he is zochel yatzmo? She'ein bitu malach bosasha elik bias hametzia toch kidei asias malach. In other words, let's say I'm going to speak in first person. I'm the adon, and I own the eved for the entire day. And any malach he does is mine. Why? Because I owe him for malacha. So any malach he gets involved in, I can acquire the products of that labor. However, supposing his time is preoccupied with my malacha, at that point, I own both his malacha and the time that he's dedicated, the 24-hour period of the day. However, what happens if there's a malacha that doesn't affect his time? Meaning, his time is mine, his malacha during that time is mine, but what happens if he could do a malacha b'zman shelo yom v'lo laila? You familiar with that phrase? Right? Yeah. It says, Ben Dome asked his uncle, when can I study Greek, since we're talking about Greek? So he says, say b'zman shelo yom v'lo laila. So in Hilchus Avdus, as far as the kinyan of the Adon on the Yad of the Eved, he has an absolute kinyan. It's mamish like Asei Mi Ayom, and he owns him for all the malachas and for all the time that he's working. But there's one exception. And that's a time period that has no time period to it. It's not a time framework that is within the purview of the Avdus, of the kinyan Avdus. What can be a time period? Kinyan Avdus is 24/7. The answer is if there's no bitul malacha. If he can find a time where where simultaneously he's involved in the malacha of his adon, and yet he's doing a malacha, another malacha with his left hand, then that malacha is his. So now we get back to the ultimate question here. Does the adon own his eved? As far as the Kenyan Yad is concerned, is the Yad of Evid owned by the Adon? Or does he not own the Yad of the Evid? We suggested, according to Reb Chia, that since the Kenyan of his Avdus was done for a specific Malacha, it's no longer Asei Mi Hayom, it's Nakeshi Mi. Mm-hmm. And there he only owns the Malacha, he doesn't own the Yad of Evid. But Rav is saying, no, he owns the Yad HaEved. Yeah, but he owns the Yad HaEved within the framework of time and malacha. In the relationship between time and malacha, that means all the time is mine, says the Adon, for all the malachas that you do. It's a generic, all-inclusive malacha. But if you're able to do something else and produce something, when you're involved in my malacha, and without being mavato my malacha, is that doesn't belong to the Adon. So I'm thinking out loud the following. What would be, according to Rava, if the Eved would manufacture something while he's doing the malach. Without taking a break, he manufactures something. Who would own the product of that labor? Nobody has an intuition about that. I think this is a clear-cut answer.
Without his being about the lives,
correct.
Then it'd be his.
It'd be his. Yeah. And with what kinyan would be koned? A kinyan, maisi adayim. There's a kinyan called maisi adayim. Whatever I produce is mine. This is way before Karl Marx, by the way. The Judaism knew about this 2,000 years before Karl Marx. That a person owns the product of his labor. That's called a kinyan maisi adayim. Lashem Aretz Malah, because the entire universe is God's, yet maisi adayim.
How is he doing this?
Oh, so let's say with one hand he could activate a machine, and by activating that machine he could produce something. So that prados is his by virtue of a kinyan maisi adayim. What about Mitzia? While he's doing the malacha without taking a break, he is zochin a Mitzia. He picks it up with Agbah and he makes a kinyan on the Mitzia. Could that be seen as Maisi Adayim? That's what Rav is clearing back and forth. The Chiddush about Mishnah is that he, the Eved, could be Kona Maisi Adayim, meaning everything belongs to the Adon, all the malacha, and every moment of time. The Adon has an absolute kinyan, but there's one thing left out of that kinyan, and that's Maisi Adayim. And Rav is Machadish, according to our Mishnah, that to be Zochei to Mitzia is Maisi Adayim. The kinyan itself means that he created something. It's almost as if he manufactured the object, and therefore it's his. Now I want to read to you a footnote here in the Masifta. I think you have this in the photocopies. I hope you do. And he says the following. This is footnote number 5. Just one second. Hey. Just one second, I lost my place here. No, I'm sorry, not hey. I made a boo-boo. It's Zion. It should be Zion, right? But let me just read Vav for a second. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, that's already the last suit. Shalom bitel klum hilkach li atzvo mashvashim bitel malachto mitziyoso l'rabo l'chein kosva tosus. Fine. So that's the way we were learning the sugya, that he owns the yad, the Adon owns the yad for time and malacha. So if that time belongs to the Adon, then the malacha, ipso facto the malacha belongs to the Adon. But if this malach is not attached to any time period, then the Eved has his own yad.
Well, but was the Eved hired for specifically malach?
No.
So in other words, the Eved's doing two malachas at the same time. We're right. Attributing one to the rabbo and one to himself.
Right.
Why? Why not do switch it around?
My chazis.
Yeah, my chazis. Say the Mitzia belongs to the rabbo.
I'll tell you this.
Because belongs to himself.
Because we're not defining Mitzia as Malacha. Do you follow? Malacha means that there are certain obligations that an Evan has to operate and implement certain Malachas. What happens if he can be preoccupied with Malacha and at the same time he could be Zocha something through Yad? So the Zchia through Yad is not called a Malacha. But on the other hand, I own your time. So if I own your time, then I own your Yad. Correct? Because the ownership of the Adon in the Eved's Malacha is a function of Zman. Right? And that's called Hayom. Again, in the case of an Eved, it's more than Hayom. But I'm saying just if you take every day as a unit of time, so the Adon owns the Eved for Hayom. Mm-hmm. If Lu Yitzuyer, the Eved could use his Yad outside the framework of time, that means the time was preoccupied with Malacha and he never dropped that Malacha. So all the malachas that are done at any particular time belong to the Adon. But if at the same time that he's doing a malach, he wants to be zocha something, he wants to make a kinyan, then that kinyan he can make. And that has nothing to do with the Adon. Because the Adon only owns the Eved's malach lizman. It's a kinyan over his man.
It's a paradox. Outside the framework of time, there's time outside the
because again it's a relationship between time and the malach.
Yeah,
you follow what I'm saying? It's time vis-a-vis malach. So now he quotes the Ritvah. Gam im yesh b'metziya zu bito malacha. The Ritvah is not bound by Rashi and Tosfos. There is bito malacha. Yitol ha'eved mitziaso. In other words, the kinyan of the Adon on the Eved is a kinyan mama. It's a kinyan mama. Which means that if Luyitsuyer, the Eved produces something and is a new object, so although the kinyan of the Adon is on the value of the object, but it's not on the physical object itself. So the Ritva says, okay, he was Mavata Malacha, now he acquired this Mitzia. Who owns this Mitzia? The Eved owns this Mitzia. Why? Because the kinyan is not, is either on the pu'ula or it's on the value of the object. Those are the two expressions of the kinyan ha'adon bi'avto. Are you with me?
Right.
It means that he owns either the malacha, which is called the pu'ula, and again, it's all an absolute kinyan of all the pu'ulos, because we're talking about a case of hayom, according to Rava. Or alternatively, if it's a cheftza, if it's a chefetz, that the Eved created, here the kinyan is a kinyan mamon. It's a kinyan on the shavius, but not on the cheftz itself. So it's really fascinating because the Ritva is reinterpreting our Mishnah. When the Mishnah says, Arei hu shal atzmon, he's going to pay for it. The Eved is not going to pocket it and get away scot-free. He's going to have to pay for it.
Well, that means that any time the Eved sees a Mitzia that's worth more than what Gula is normally doing, he automatically is mavatal.
So it depends. Yesh lachor. Alan's raising an interesting question. What does it mean that the Adon owns the Mama? Does it mean he owns this particular object? That's the way I presented it. Or does it mean he owns the time for the malacha? Now, according to the Ritva, he was mevatel his malacha for the sake of being kona the mitzia. He now owes the balabayis, not the mitzia, but he owes him the malacha, meaning the time relative to the malacha. So Alan asked the following question. It pays for him to take a break from his malacha, pay up for the malacha, and be kona the object. The object is worth a lot more than his malacha would have been. So let's say it took him, 2 minutes, 5 minutes to be acquire the sheep or whatever it was. The sheep is worth 100. His malacha for those five minutes would be worth 50. So he makes a cheshbon. I'll pay off the balabayas. Now you can ask a moral question. What gives him the moral right to make that decision? That's a question of Issa Vaheta, but I'm talking in Dini Mamadis in terms of Kinyanim. He has a right to say to the Adon, I owe you the malacha for that time period, but I don't owe you the cheftza. There's no particular cheftza that you own. I have a yad to be kona the cheftza, as long as I pay you for the time. So he makes a swap. So let's read the Ritva inside and see if we can figure out what the Ritva had in mind. He says, Gamim yesh b'mitziya zu bitul malacha, yitol ha'evin mitziyasa. That's a radical interpretation of our Mishnah, that even though there's bitul malacha, he can pocket the object, and that's what the Mishnah says. Harei yushal atzma, v'yishalem schar bitul malacha. Now we have to reread Rava. Rava says im malachto. What does it mean im malachto? Not that he's doing it simultaneous with his malacha. He took a break, but im malachto means l'shalem malachto. I don't know how you fit into the word im, you know what I'm saying? Vishona did eved mistam poel, she poel amotzi mitziyo im ha'yibakach bito malocha eini yochalom leba. Oh, here he's getting into the ethical issue. He says, if he was a poel, eini yochalom leba l'abayis tol schar, I'm going to decide it's worth it for me to take a break from my work. I'll pay you for that time period, and I'll take the mitzvah. He doesn't have a right to do so. I don't know if he means in dini mamonos or in terms of taromas. You know, taromas means a kind of ethical relationship. Shalom omru kain elabi evid ivri shal rov motze mitzvah ein bekach bitu malach
l'rav. What does that mean?
He's saying that the reason why the evid ivri can make this call, make this decision, that it's worth it for him to take a break, and pay the Baal HaBayis for his time is because in most situations it won't be bitul malacha.
Because he's just not busy all day long? Is that what that means? If he's doing his work,
right.
He's bitul malacha.
Right.
I assume that not him. So.
Right. I guess what he's saying is that because the Eved is the executive assistant, meaning he has so much on his plate, then I guess it means he'll be able to fill in the time.
Maybe it means that people are not busy 24 hours a day. There's always in between jobs, there's always breakdown.
No, but why is it different?
So I can always make up the time I'm
there. Right, but why is that so only in the case of Eved? That's what I was thinking, because the Eved is the executive assistant. So if he takes a 5-minute break, you know, if you look at the whole picture, but now we get to a poel. A poel is paid from daybreak till sunset, right, till the end of the day, or till Tzeis HaKochavim. So there's a very limited amount of time. So therefore, it's gadshach that if he takes a break, there'll be a loss here to the Baal HaBayis. Now, even though he's willing to pay back the Baal HaBayis, but he doesn't have the right to make that call on his own. In the case of an Eved, it's almost like an assumed umdana de mechila, because the Eved is so busy during the entire course of the day. I don't know. He doesn't explain what's the difference between a poel and an Eved. Let me read it again. He says, a poel is not allowed to say, well, I'll take a break from my malacha and I'll pay back the Baal HaBayis. La'omru Kain, who could take the law into his own hands, take a break and pay back the Baal HaBayis? That's an Eved. Why? Because al rov ein mekach mishum bitul malacha. But now there is bitul malacha. So, or if there's al rov ein kan bitul malacha for the mitzvah, why not say the same thing by a poet? I don't know. He doesn't flesh it out. Maybe if you don't mind, you could find the mitzvah. Perhaps he adds a few words. And I don't want to bother you, but. So Rav Osei, let's just summarize. We have two shittas in the Gemara so far, this before Rav Pop. We have number one, Rav Chia, and we have number two, Rava. Okay then? So what's Rava and what's Rav Chia? Rav Chia is saying that the Eved is equivalent to Nakesh Imi Hayom. Nakesh Imi Hayom. What makes it Nakesh Imi Hayom? Because when he entered into this relation with the Eved, he bought the Eved Almanas that the Eved should give him the Kivas Margolius. That was Nakesh Imi Hayom. Therefore, it's not within the purview of the Kenyan Avdus to do any other malacha on behalf of the Baal HaBayis. No other malacha. The Baal HaBayis doesn't own him for any other malacha. What would the Baal HaBayis say if the Metzia was worth a lot more than the Malacha, even though he's a high-skilled, expensive Malacha, but he found a very expensive Metzia? Nothing would change. The Eved would still have a right to own and acquire ownership on the Metzia. The Baal HaBayis doesn't want it. Mm-hmm. The answer is, the Kinyan itself, from the get-go, was a Kinyan Le-Malacha. It was a Kinyan of Nakesh Imi. Rava says no. It was an all-inclusive Kinyan, and therefore it's like Nakeshi Mi, it's like Asei Mi Hayom. Why is the Eved able to be Kone in the case of Asei Mi Hayom? How's it different than Poel? And the answer is, in the case of Poel, so here we have Machlokas Rashi and the Ritva. Rashi is going to tell us that in the case of the Eved in our Mishnah, and the same thing would apply to a Poel, he's juggling two things simultaneously. So the ownership of the Eved is an ownership Lizman for Malacha. Right? Like, for example, let's say I rent your car. Let's say, that's not a good example, maybe. Probably. So I rent your animal, let's say an ox, for Harisha, for a full day. So I can do Harisha with your ox. I can't do anything else. If the ox does other malacha, then I don't have any kinyan on that. So the Adon doesn't have any kinyan beyond the Zman. So all the malachas of that Zman are kanui, but if he does another malacha simultaneously, then there's no gzelas Zman. That's Rashi. And the Ritva says, no, there's a fundamental difference between Poel and Eved, because the Eved does so much work that even if he takes a little bit of a break, he'll make it up. And the Eved is allowed, he's licensed to make that decision when he wants to take a break, as long as he's willing to pay to make up and compensate for. But in the case of a Poel, we don't give him the right. I'm paying you per hour, and I want your full hour, and you don't have a right to be mevatel, even if you're willing to pay me for the time.
So here, I see that we've got rights around the Poel, but if they don't know the Poel, why? The kivin shescharo stan of the malacha, af metzia b'chon.
So that's not what he. That's not. This is a whole other ritva. This is not the ritva he quotes. He probably didn't look up the ritva either. He read it in Masifta, so he wrote it in Masifta. Just kidding. You know, it's like God gives chachma to a chacham, but how is he a chacham? How is he a chacham to begin with? Anyway, so the ritva is saying something else, that in the case of Poel, he had in mind to be Kona'im even for a Mitzvah, even for Malach of Mitzvah. I think Abshah was better, but anyway. Rav Papa says that what's the Ukimta, the Brisa? No, I'm sorry. Rav Papa is going to say, yeah. What's the Ukimta, the Brisa? And why does the Brisa say that in case of a Poel, he's allowed to what? He's allowed to... I'm sorry. In the case of Poel, the Metziah goes back to the Balabayas. Back to the... to Balabayas. Is Kigon Sheschoro Lelake Metziahs. Very strange. I am reminded... Do you remember this on the beaches? They used to have these guys going around with those little machines. The sieves, or what did they call it?
Metal detectors.
Oh, that's really more sophisticated. I remember in my youth they didn't have metal detectors. They just had this like wooden box with two handles and a kind of a it had like blades, so to speak, wooden blades, and it would go through a sifter, and whatever was a little larger than the sand would float up on top. They probably did this for 40 days until they found one thing that was worth a nickel, you know, but I don't know. Anyway, Kigon Shescharo Lelaket Mitzios. He hired him just to look for Mitzios on the bank of the river, right? Is Mimela, that's the exception to the rule. So the Gemara is basically, according to our Papa, backtracking from everything that we assumed until now. We thought until now that the Poel, in a case of a Metziah, he's operating on his own because the kinyan of the Baal Bayis is a limited kinyan. Whereas if it was Asei Mihayom, then the Baal Bayis has an all-inclusive kinyan. No. He hired him for one specific malacha, but that malacha was Lelake Mitzios. That's a pretty wild ukimta. Hechidomi, how do you imagine such a thing? You hire someone for that purpose. Is it worth paying him a salary just to look for Mitzios? He says, the Akpe Agma Bekavre. So the word Agma means some sort of body of water. An agam of water, right. He says, in the Hebrew translation, Saf Hanahar Al Gidosov.
So that it overflowed, and there were fish, they were in the water,
right. So
and then when the water receded, all the fish are lay in there.
Right. So it's worth it for him to collect the fish and pay him a salary for that. So what exactly is our case then? The case of the Brisa. It says Mitzioso, right? Mitzioso liatzmo, or Mitzioso balbay. What Mitzia? Does he? Are we talking about fish? Or are we talking about another object?
Yeah, no, we think it's not the object he was hired to collect, but it's found something else while he's doing it.
So somehow we abstract
Mitzia. That he was told to collect those objects. He was called to collect objects, and the hechitinza is that.
Or Dilma, maybe he was hired. Right? Or he's hired for just fish. But somehow once he hires him to collect fish, then the agreement is such that he works on his behalf to find anything. I don't know. All right, Rabbi Osai, let's...
So even if he was hiring to pick codfish,
that's what I think.
Else, he can't keep.
That's not what you said, Yosef. You said he was hiring him to collect metzias. I don't know. It could be they hired him to collect fish. All right, we'll see. Let's leave that for tomorrow. Now we have to.